This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello. It's good to be here. And when I say it's good to be here, I mean it's good to be here. We came from Malmesbury. We tried to leave at 6:45, but we left at 7:10. And we're still married. So it's good to be here. I love the songs. Thank you, the worship team. I love the Lord, take this life and let it become your throne. Really, really love that. Love the testimony of answered prayer. Thank you so much. Testimonies are amazing. And Jimmy, thank you for the love and the encouragement to be obedient in the small things. I think that's, it could be done already. So before I start, can you take your phones, turn them on, and tell the people you're having lunch with you're going to be late? I love that you think that's a joke. So a few weeks ago, I had the privilege to listen to Heinrich share at the staff devotional. And Heinrich started with something I want to do today. It's called a pre-intro. So I don't know if you're allowed to make slides or no for a pre-intro. I didn't. But there's two things I want to share as a pre-intro. So I want to start before I start. The first thing is I want to teach you how to do signs and wonders. Okay, it's going to be very quick, very easy. Signs and wonders are amazing because it brings joy to your life. It really does. When you see God move in power, it's like, wow, God is amazing. It just brings a lot of joy. So, and it's also a good way to bypass a lot of arguments just about God. Just straight. So how do we do this? It's basically giving God a platform to move. It's giving God the opportunity to do something. And how do we do this? We pray for people with people. It's very, very simple. Simple prayers. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be reconciled with your Father in the name of Jesus. Engage in faith. And if you don't have faith, like me a lot of the times, engage in obedience. Jesus says, do. God bring healing. He does it. And use compassion, love, obedience. These are strong currencies in the kingdom of God. So when we pray for things that we physically don't have power over the outcome of, and God does it, that's a sign and a wonder. I'll tell you a quick story. About 3 weeks ago, my wife prayed for a lady at the Langsibosmarki in Malmesbury. And the lady hadn't spoken with her dad for over 30 years. And my wife prayed for the lady. And within 10 days, the dad phoned the lady and said he wanted to give her some money. Tell me she doesn't think this is a sign and a wonder. Amen? And it's easy. It's a simple prayer. Hey, what can I pray for you? So now you know how to do signs and wonders. Pray for people, with people. The second point is there's nothing that you have that hasn't been given to you. Let me say that again. There's nothing that you have that hasn't been given to you. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you've received it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Can just hear a few guys saying, "Have you seen my pecs? I didn't receive this. These are bench presses for hours at the gym." And I can just hear God says, "Wow, my son." You know, God is there. The earth is his footstool. It's like, "Wow, my son, your pecs are massive." So, massive pecs, okay? But think about it. All you are and all you have has been given to you. Your brains, your drive, your ambition, your gifts, your talents, your education. You haven't done much about that. It's been given to you. Think about it. Jesus is Lord of your life. He's also Lord of your stuff. Stop acting as if it's yours. Be generous with yourself. Be generous with your stuff. He's the Lord of that. And he's entrusted you with it. I want to encourage you, be like a detective. Seek out the needs of the people around you like a detective, seek them out and see how you can meet them. Be generous with ideas, time, prayer, money. There's so much joy in giving. Let me not say this. It's okay. Okay, the intro. Good morning. Okay, thank you, Heinrich. Thank you, Anton, for having us. It's a blessing to be here. As Anton said, we had the pleasure to welcome him in Dire Dawa. Dire Dawa is in the east of Ethiopia, between the Oromo region and the Somali region. And we spent about a year there. It's been a tough year. We all had a lot of diarrhea. We all got a lot sick. I lost 15 kilos to diarrhea. Our kids, when we came back, you could see their ribs sticking out. It was not nice. But it's been a blessing. We've seen 7 people get saved from 2 different unreached people groups, 1 Somali guy and 6 Oromo, Hararge Oromo people. And the early stages of discipleship, there have been a lot of fun. Like, we've been answering questions like, the Bible? What's the Bible? And then you're like, oh my goodness, it's Old Testament? What's the Old Testament? What's a testament? Why is it old? And also questions like, what? You don't beat your wife? She never makes mistakes? So we're not troubled by sin, but if in a couple years the guys are still there, then we have an issue as disciple makers. But sin doesn't surprise us. So some of you might be wondering about my accent. I'll help you guys. My grandpa was born in Holland. My mother was born in Belgium. My dad was born in the U.S. His mother was German. His dad is from French descent, and I was born in France. Okay? So I'm a mix. But because I'm a mix of pink people breeding with pink people, I'm still pink. If I was South African, I'd probably be colored. But I'm still pink. Yes, I'm claimed. So, when I was 19 years old, I left France to move to Egypt. And then I spent about 12 years in the Middle East between Egypt and Syria. And I want to tell you why I left. When I was 15, God spoke to me about the nations. I was at this Christian conference, and this missionary was sharing about the need in the 10:40 window, how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And something in my 15-year-old rebellious and skeptic heart just came to life. But before I tell you about that, I just want to pray for you. Father, I just want to release, Lord, what you've given to me when I was 15 years old, this heart for the nations, this heart to follow in obedience what you've called me to. Lord, I just want to release this passion for the nations that you have. In the name of Jesus. I'm a bit stressed, so I'm going to drink some water. I say. Hallelujah. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and the guy said, if you can't see God move through your prayer, start talking to God about things he cares about. Talk to him about the nations. So the 10:40 window, there should be a slide about this. The 10:40 window, should be a map, yes. So the 10:40 window is, the black line at the bottom is the 10 latitude north and the 40 latitude north. So what they call the 10:40 window is this whole section of the globe that is there or around there. So there's, you know, the Afghanistans and all the stands that are a little bit above the top one, but it's also in the 10:40 window. So that's about 9,000 people groups, 4.9 billion people. That's 9 zeros after the 4. And 6,000, about 6,500, 900, 5,900, no, come back. 5,900 or so people groups are considered unreached in that region. Unreached people groups, we'll talk about this. 3 billion people, you can go to the next slide, is about 55 times the population of South Africa. Come back a slide. So the green part is the Muslim world, the yellow is the Hindu, And the brown is the Buddhist, and they call China the non-religious because of the atheist and communist state. But it basically means that, so let me tell you a story. We were in Asia not too long ago, and I asked this waitress that had just served us a dinner, is there anything I can pray for you? And the lady's like, pray? P-R-A-Y? Like, yes. And she's like, pray? She didn't know what I meant. She did not know what I meant, what it means to pray for her. Unreached people groups. So what is an unreached people? The definition is it's a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians who, with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize their people group without outside assistance. We work with a people group called the Harargue Oromo. There's no Bibles in their language. So we're part of a team there that's working on a translation for that Bible. There's 22.3 million Somalis. There's less than 1,000 Somalis who believe in Jesus worldwide. Only 70 that we know of, 70 in Ethiopia. Unreached people group, 70 out of 22 million. Aina. Few more facts about the 1040 window. It's where most Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and Chinese live. It's the top 50 least evangelized megacity. A megacity is a city over 1 million inhabitants. And when you hear megacity, think about Cape Town. Think about coffee shops. Think about tech. Think about internet, electricity. It's not like where we live. Okay, we don't have a lot of these things. Think entrepreneurship. Think job opportunities, PwC, big companies, big universities. It's a lot of people. It's third world, but it's also big cities. It's also 80% of the poorest of the poor. 80% of the poorest of the poor live in the 1040 window. I want you to think about something. There's job opportunities over there. Your trade works over there. You could go there and work. Let that sink in. You know, sometimes I don't really understand God. His plan to reach all these people is you and me. Oh my goodness. Just putting the reminders away. If you've done Encounter 5, there's that video that says God's plan A is the church and there's no plan B. That is crazy. It's an honor actually for us. It's an honor that God wants to participate with us. It's an honor that God wants to give us, you know, this opportunity to work with him to bring forth his kingdom. Next slide, as I believe. Okay. So as I said, we work with two major unreached people, the Somalis and Oromos. And we just want to take some time to pray for them right now. So I'm just going to give you a couple instructions. Get in groups of 3 or 4, and we're going to listen to God for a minute. What does he want you this morning to release over that people group, those people groups? Okay, so we're going to do this, straight down the middle here. You guys are going to pray for the Oromo, and you guys are going to pray for the Somalis. If you two want to pray together, I see you're a loving couple, you can be a group. I release you. With so much love, God will answer your prayers. So you guys got the Somalis, and you guys got the Harargue Oromo. Okay? So listen for a minute. I'll put my timer on. My phone's over there, so I won't put my... I'll look. Can somebody put a timer on for 1 minute? Thank you. And then we listen to God, and I pray that God would open your ears, that you would hear what he has for you to pray for this morning. And then you're going to pray in that group of 3 what you've received. Short prayers. Go for it. Amen. Father, thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. Lord, thank you that the Somalis and the Oromos will never be the same after this morning. Lord, thank you because when two or three agree in your name, Lord, stuff moves. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you've received something, if the Lord has showed you something and you feel this is important, please share it with us at the end. We value the voice of the Lord, and so if he's shown you something, please share it with us. So Heinrich asked us to kind of impart something from the Lord, and I was wondering, how do I impart something that God cares about? And I'm just like, if God cares about it, you should care about it. Receive that impartation. Yeah, that's a good word up there. So now that you're imparted, how do we start? So there's four things I want to touch on. You can go to the next slide. I want to talk about identity, a tool. I want to invite you guys to follow us as a family, and I want to challenge you. So just on the identity part, I want to read from Matthew 16, 18. It'll be up there. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, or the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. So we need to see, we need to start seeing ourselves as the church. Okay? The Sunday morning is not church. You don't go to church. You are to church, and we gather as church. But tomorrow as you go to work, you are church. Amen? So say, I am the church from a Monday to a Friday. Okay, say, we are the church from a Monday to a Friday. And say, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead in Romans 10:9, you will be saved. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are the highest authority in town. How cool is that? There's principalities and powers, there's dominions, and then there's the church seated in Christ. Amen? Receive that. You're not a victim. You're not an arme Christian. You're not just a good person. Goeie mensen, who cares about that? You are the highest authority in town. Amen? And you are the church from a Monday to a Friday. And Jesus tells us where he's going to build that church. Is he going to build that church by green pastures? No. Is he going to build that church in this school? Yes, no. He's going to build that church by the gates of hell. Sure, that's a good place to have a church, amen? Great strategy, Jesus. By the gates of hell, okay. So let's look at the gates of hell. If I want to conquer a nation, do I stand on my gates of my city and I say, I'm going to conquer from these gates? No, the gates don't move. The gates is a defensive position. It's not a place from which we take over. It's a place from which we defend. And then Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Which means, Jesus tells us, you are the church, we are the church. We're supposed to be by the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Which means, the church is supposed to move hell back. Does that make sense? Does this make sense? So we're basically called to plunder hell. So imagine a life statement for Shofar Somerset West. The lovers of the king meet on a Sunday morning, but they have fun throughout the week, plundering hell and redeeming and rescuing people from a Monday to a Friday. How cool is that? Huh? Amen? So how do we do this? Where do we start? So am I feeling excitement coming up, or have I lost you? Who's with me still? Okay, a couple guys there. Heinrich, I'll tell you afterwards. So how do we do this? I want to encourage you. Be creative. Think about it. Use your breakfast, lunch, and dinner to think about this. Talk about this as a family. It's important. It is important. We need to be talking about it. Some of us are very creative when it comes to business and business plans and projections and what. But what about advancing the kingdom? I am not nearly close to be finished. So a couple of things. It's not in our own strength. It's not a recipe, but it's through the power of the Spirit of God. And it's your job to do that. It's your job to do that. It's your job to do that. It's our job to do this. It's not Pastor Heinrich or Pastor Anton. It's your job. They're there to equip you to go do that stuff. It's your job. Jesus sent his disciples out in front of him in Luke 10 to the places where he was about to go. So if you want Jesus to be about to go in your sphere of influences, in your schools, in your work, in your Pilates clubs, Pilates is awesome, by the way, in your sphere of influences, listen to what we read in Luke 10. So I said it's not a recipe, but I'm going to give you a recipe because I like the recipes. Okay? So it's a four-step program. Oh, no, let's read it first. Verse 5, and I shorten chunks of it. So when you enter a house, first say, peace be to this house. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give to you. And verse 9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the four-step program is the following. You pray for people without them knowing. Is that easy? I just prayed for you. Ha! You didn't even know. Okay? Second. I missed up that slide. So the first two are actually the same thing. The second. Wait, what is this slide? Okay. Thank you. So first step is you pray for people without knowing. Then you fellowship, you eat and drink. Then you pray for people with people. It's a little bit harder, a little bit tricky. It's a bit uncomfortable sometimes, all the time. And then you proclaim. So it's interesting, when we think I need to share the gospel, we think, let me go proclaim first. I need to proclaim. But what's cool when Jesus says, no, first you pray for them. That's where the warfare happens. That's when the veil is removed. And then you fellowship. You braai with people. Amen. Yes. And then we pray for people with people. And then we proclaim. Next slide. So you pray for people without them knowing. I go to work 5 minutes early. And Lord, I pray for this guy in the name of Jesus. Speak peace over him in the name of Jesus. I leave school a little bit late. Lord, bless this student next to me in the name of Jesus. Bless my teacher. You don't go to Pilates early. People come with their own mats anyway, so I'm an expert in Pilates. It's not true. Let me tell you, come back. I'll tell you the story of the petrol station in Malmesbury. I pass it at least twice a day. Every time I pass, I say, Lord, I speak peace to these guys. There's three people mainly, and I speak peace over them every time. It's peace as an act of warfare. Okay? Next slide. We fellowship. Braai, love, care, have compassion for people. With the petrol station, I give them lekker tips. You know when you... In Proverbs 18, verse 16, it says, a gift open the way. Do we have enough money to open the way for the gospel? Let's pay people. Seriously. Well, if you're generous with somebody, their heart's open to you. You won't believe it. Especially the bad, bad waiters. Oh, my goodness. Give them a nice tip, they change. It's amazing. It's so amazing. Be generous. So I over-tip like crazy everybody. And then I move to the next step. Another thing in the fellowship. If you're an introvert, you're allowed to fellowship in your house over the course of a few weeks. If you're an extrovert, you can have a deep, meaningful connection with somebody in 3 minutes max. Okay? So everybody can have fun. So pray for people with people. It says heal the sick in Luke 10. So Bonga, the petrol attendant, is a sangoma. But he's experienced the power of Jesus. Ha! We prayed for his son got healed. We prayed for him, he stopped smoking. He's on the way of stopping to smoke. It's quite fresh. It's happening now. He went from 15 cigarettes to 3 cigarettes in a week. And I said, why? He says, oh, because you prayed for me. From his mouth. The next week, I go see Lucy. Lucy, is there anything I can pray for you? He says, yes, for my leg. I say, okay, what's wrong with your leg? And then I say, leg be healed in the name of Jesus. She says, is it better? I said, is it better? She says, yes. I says, really? You don't, it's not to make me happy. She says, no, it's really better. I says, okay. Lord, thank you for better. Leg be completely healed in the name of Jesus. And then I say, how is it? She says, no, it's gone. And then she takes my card and she's like, Ish, Benjamin, what did you do? You know? And she's like, woo, no more pain. I was like, finally, it sunk in. Amen? It's easy to pray for people. What can I pray for you? As a lifestyle, not as an activity. Let's not go do an evangelism activity. But let's, when we go to Spar, when we go to, I don't know if you guys go to Woolies. Maybe you do. When you go to Woolies, hey, is there anything I can pray for you? Set up your spouse to do it. I often tell the cashier, hey, ask my wife to pray for you. God really loves to hear her prayers. Huh? That works very well. Trust me. I can just see, oh, I'm never going to have coffee with Benjamin. Okay, there's a lady at Spar, Tanya Mensha. What's her name? What's her name, Livy? Emancha? When she sees me, she runs away. I've prayed for her too many times. Aramading. But let's be proactive when we're at a coffee shop. Lord, what are you saying about our waiter? What are you saying about this guy? Lord, what are you saying about Eugene? And the Lord speaks. And if he doesn't speak anything, ask Eugene, hey, Eugene, what can I pray for you? And he will share. I think I've prayed for about 100 plus people in the past month or so, 2 months. There's only maybe less than 10 people who've said no, they don't want prayer. And they're always just shy or, no, I'm good for now, or, you know, nobody's punched me. And if you care about your job, you know, I'm excited to hear testimony of people who lose their jobs. Like, how valuable is your job, seriously? Huh? Like, who wants to get fired because of Jesus? Not because you're stupid, but because of Jesus. Okay, don't be stupid, but who wants to get fired because of Jesus? That'll be a cool testimony on Shofar Online TV. Okay, and then we proclaim. I see a lot of people who want to proclaim, but they don't know how to. But that's your fault. Get equipped. Dr. YouTube, Professor Google, E5, the way of the master. Seriously, easy. Ask your leaders. Anton, he loves to teach people about that. Yeah? Amen. Bonga and Lucy. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell it, but told Bonga, you know, the spirit in me is stronger than the spirits in you. And I challenged him. Your life is at stake. Your eternal life is at stake. Who are you trusting? They're coming in. Lucy said she wants to be born again. Proclaim. When people encounter the power and the love of God, the proclamation is easy. Go every day to work as an outreach. Pray for people without them knowing. Start with the steps. Very easy. Okay, I'm probably already late. No. Follow us. Become part of our prayer team. We live in the nations. Whatever that means. We have a newsletter. If you want our newsletter, silly.benjamin@gmail.com. That is us. Don't talk about evangelism and people converting, please. That'll get us into trouble where we live. Try to be a little bit discreet in how you say things. Because in Muslim people groups, people don't like people converting out of Islam, as you can think. You can also give us money. On top of being super generous with your tithes and gifts and offerings in your local body. Did you know that 10% is only a minimum? Did you know this? Okay, remember, what you have is not yours. Challenge, up your giving to the church, but also outside the church. There's so much joy in giving. Do you know Jesus said that? There's more joy or more blessing in giving than in receiving. Who wants to be more joyful? Come on. Okay, a lot of them don't. Okay, raise your hands again. Okay, the last point is a challenge. Think about moving to a part of the world where... Oh, no, I changed that. Start caring about what God cares about. Is that challenging? Yes. Toothless. Who knows? Who has kids here? Who knows Toothless? Come on. How to Train Your Dragon, yeah? Amen. Do I like Toothless? Not really. I mean, whatever. But my son loves Toothless. And because he loves Toothless, I love Toothless. How much more important is it? Because God loves something, we should love it. Does that make sense? If God loves something, it doesn't really matter if you like it or not. Start caring about what he cares about. Amen? So often people say, no, but is it the nations? Is it here? Is it Jerusalem? Is it the ends of the earth? The answer is yes. Yes. Okay? Do it here, do it there, do it there, do it here. Just do it, Nike. Okay? And think about moving that side. There's job opportunities there. Your skill has a job opportunity over there. You're mainly not allowed to be a missionary full-time there anyways, so you need a job. So if you have a job here, you can have a job there. For us, it was tough to think about moving to Ethiopia as a family. It is a decision. There's no schools. There's sometimes running water, often no electricity. For long stretches at a time, it's dirty. It's full of bugs. And we really struggled to go there as a family. It's easy to go when you're single. But with a family, it's tough. And we, many times, we had to proclaim and claim, Lord, it is the best thing for our kids to go to Ethiopia. It is the best thing for our family to go there. It's not, they're not just a byproduct and we're not just dragging them. No. It is the best for them to go. It is the best for our kids, for us to be obedient. It's a family calling. So I know it's not easy. You know, when we had our first son, Samuel, I forgot to say we have three kids. Samuel, who's 4, Noah, who's 2, and Simeon, who's 4 months. And the first time we came back, we had Samuel in France at my parents. And then we came back to Cairo. I was like, Cairo, number one most polluted city in the world. And I'm like, holding my son. He's like this big. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm taking you and your freshly new unwrapped lungs into the most polluted city in the world. Like, Aina. My heart broke. But that's the best for him, is for us to be obedient. The best thing for your kids is not a Montessori school. The best thing for your kids is for you to be obedient. And I say that with fear and trembling, because we tremble and we fear a lot for our kids. Sure. I used to work in, I think I don't have any more slides, do I? Oh no, come back once, I'll tell you after. Yeah. I used to work in Egypt and Syria, and through my work, I had access to Palestinian refugee camps, to UN offices in Damascus, in the Laziqiyah in Syria, in Bahrain, in Cairo. I was able to visit ministers' offices, governors, mayors. And I also used to make a lot of money, close to 100,000 rands a month. It's a lot of money. we were blessed and we were able to give a lot of money. I'm not saying this to boast, but I'm just saying it doesn't matter. And God says, leave that and go do ministry in Ethiopia. And luckily, we don't own almost anything. We have a few suitcases. Somebody gave us a bucky, but we don't own anything. And I want to challenge you. This is like the sucker punch. Boom! I want to challenge you. Yeah, go for it. Silence the voice of the bank. You know, Pastor C.S. was from Stellenbosch was saying, you know, we are sheep, we hear the and we know the voice of the Lord. Amen? You're a sheep, you know the voice of the Lord. But many other voices are speaking to us. Our families, our ambitions, our fears, our culture. But I realized the bank speaks super loud in our ears. The bond that we're paying for a house, for our car, for our boats, for our strantais, for I don't know what you guys have. Okay? How can we be aware of other people's needs when the bank is like, get out of debt, people. Get out of debt ASAP. You made that decision once to buy a house, and you're bound to the bank for 30 years now. Get rid of your debt. I told my wife, if we move to South Africa for a long time, we'll buy a piece of land and we'll live in a tent. I am not getting a loan for her. My wife said, you can live in a tent. I will rent a house somewhere. But there's alternatives to this. Build a small house and live in a small house. Get a small loan and get rid of it. And then build a house if you want to. A big one. Move into your granny flat and rent out your house. You'll make a lot of money doing that. That'll pay your bond and allow you every month to decide, I have all this bond money that I'm not paying. How can I use it? Every month you'll have more money to use on something else than giving it to the bank that you made a decision once a while ago and you're enslaved to that bank for 30 years. I'm saying this over and over again because it's important. Seriously, talk about it. Be creative and be hasty. Get out of debt. Use your money for something else than a house. Ah! Turn liabilities into assets. Rent out your house. Move two families into one house. Community. Kids can be taken care of. Date nights. Yeah? Airbnb is better than a beach house. You don't need a beach house to have fun at the beach. I am finished. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you for these awesome people. Lord, I just bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I really thank you, Lord, that there is a hunger and there is a thirst to love you and to follow and to obey, Lord, in your ways. And Lord, I just bless these precious people. And Lord, just everything that you've given me, Lord, specifically regarding the nations and a heart for the lost, Lord, I just release over these people. And Lord, I also release a boldness in the name of Jesus to obey you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.